Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero in the studio with finance presenter JP Ong and joined on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. We end a week that has been incredibly, shall we say, educational. Because it was more volatile than I had seen the SDI in a while. And global markets also, we experienced jitters. We experienced hardcore trading. There was a bit of everything for everyone.
A little bit of shock, maybe.
A little bit of shock, a little bit of awe, all of it. But today, the SDI right now is down 0.2% to 3,247 points. JP's going to set the stage for us before we take a deeper dive into the week that we're about to close.
So as you've hinted at, Clarissa, it's been a very challenging start to Friday for regional markets. Most major equity indices, not all of them, all the majors at least, are in the red, including the Straits Times Index. But it is worth noting that the STI is just down by about 6.5 points. That's about 0.2% lower for the local benchmark today, and they have slid to 3,247. Value turnover is at about 848 million Singapore dollars in total trades changing hands. And across the broader main board and catalyst, about 141 stocks, REITs, and trusts that are in the green. But that sorely trails the 266 losers in today's session. So again, we're seeing just a little bit of, caution and perhaps some nerves really hitting equity markets here. It's not as deep, though, as some of the losses we're seeing across the rest of the Asia-Pacific. A lot of this, again, connected to the events and Russia's attack on Ukraine. And I think whenever you bring up the N-word, which is nuclear, it tends to really raise the stakes or the temperature, actually, in the room. Keep in mind that was reported that Europe's largest nuclear plant in Ukraine was under fire as Russian troops began shelling that facility. And this, of course, just raising the alarm bells across markets. European stocks, the stock 600, plunged by more than 2% last on Thursday. And we also saw the Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq all close in the red. This has once again spurred a flight to safe havens. And we're seeing that also with the Japanese yen, which also gained just a little bit overnight, but enough actually to sap strength in Tokyo. The Nikkei 225 fell by about 2.2% to 25,985 points. Despite rising commodity prices, the ASX 200 in Australia finds itself also down by about 0.5% at 7,110. South Korea's KOSPI today also in the red, falling 1.2% to 2,714 points. It's also been a pretty challenging day for the Taiwan Weighted Exchange, which finds itself down 1% in Taipei to 17,760 points. Shanghai also trading about 1% lower today at 3,447. Ditto for the Shenzhen Bourse, which has fallen by about 1% to 13,077 points. Out in Hong Kong, we are seeing that the Hang Seng has now plunged by almost 3%, down 617 points to 21,850. The Hang Seng Tech Index also suffering from a 4.1% drop now and also weighing on stocks out in Hong Kong. And again, this is the flavor, it seems, for markets for the most part. A lot of this might also be connected to what it does to energy prices. Now, crude oil is headed back into the green, but it did actually pare back significantly after testing $120 a barrel, that's Brent crude at least, on news that perhaps the U.S. and Iran might be close or making more progress towards sealing a possible deal that could lift embargoes in Iran and could provide just a little bit of relief to global oil markets. Now, no deal has been finalized yet, but progress at least did lift hopes for the most part. We saw Brent crude retreat significantly in the last 36 hours, but today they're back on the rise. However, at about $112 a barrel, it's significantly lower than yesterday's levels, where it was almost threatening to hit $120 a barrel. We'll see how this goes, but oil, commodity prices, its links to inflation, these might all be things we're going to have to monitor throughout the month of March, as we also hope that tensions and the attack on Ukraine actually subsides and perhaps Moscow can call off their troops.
All right, now we bring Jeff Howe into the conversation, although I need to point this out. A lot of people have, over time, over the last years, had reservations about the SDI. Maybe it was a little bit too conservative, the basket didn't have enough tech in it, etc., 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 has been leveled at the SDI. But this week, it actually proved its resilience and yet also prove that it can be a very interesting market to be in. And we bring Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX, to address that.
Yeah, thanks so much, Clarissa. It's been a narrow range compared to the week before, and the SDI has spent the majority of its time between 3280 and 3220 thereabouts. So it brings the SDI down around 1.5% so far this week. But it is so diversified in that DBS Group Holdings has seen the most net institutional selling for the first four sessions of the week, and the stock price is down 6% this week. But at the same time, another SDI stock has seen the most net institutional buying this week, and that's Yangtze Junk Shipbuilding, and that's up 6%. So it's a very diversified index, a very diversified stock market, as we say. And when you have so many factors and market drivers that are so concurrent across the world at the moment, you really start to see all these segments across our stock market begin to light up in terms of trading activity. For much of the year, we're talking about the banks, and what's happened there is you've had, just for the first 4 days of this week, you've had more than $400 million, Sing dollars, of net institutional selling in DBS, OCBC, and UOB. So the trio have averaged 3% declines, ranging from, as we said, that 6% decline for DBS to, close to 2% decline for OCBC. And it was interesting because on the valuation front, the average price-to-book ratio, which basically compares your current market value or market cap of the stock to its book value, that average price-book ratio of the trio, it's back to 1.24 times. And that is in the range of basically your top quintile, which is your top 20% of global banks, to the top quartile, the top 25% of global banks. So that's between 1.26 and 1.20. So the trio now have their valuation within that band at 1.24. But it did follow the average price-to-book ratio of that trio stretching as high as 1.40 times. And at that time in mid-February, that was a 10% plus premium to the global top quintile, and the global top quartile. So that band for the big global banks was still between 1.26 and 1.23 for their valuations, but we had risen to as high as 1.40. And that, you remember back in mid-Feb, the expectations for a 50 basis point hike at the upcoming FOMC had risen to around 60%. Now, what we saw is those expectations really gravitate back towards a 25 basis point hike in the last week, and that basically saw the valuations of the banks come back in line with their global peers, just like they were going into 2022 and spent much of 2021 and 2020, for that matter, in line with their global peers. So present expectations are really next to zero for a 50 basis point hike at the upcoming 16th of March FOMC. So that's had a pretty big impact on the STI. That's why the STI has retreated so quickly from its 17th of March high, because of those stretch valuations for that banks, which came back to their in line with their global peers over those sessions at the end of February and into this week. But really what's been happening this week, where much of the focus is in the global stock market, of course, is the energy sector, which is comprised of oil and gas, as well as coal plays. So Brent crude oil, it ended last week at $97.90 a barrel, thereabouts. At the moment, it's trading above $112 a barrel, as JP said. But that follows after forming a high very close to $120 a barrel yesterday afternoon at about 3:30 p.m. thereabouts. So it came back from there, but look, crude oil can be volatile, and while Brent crude has formed so far this week a 20% swing from its intra-week low to its intra-week high, it's not a record by any means in the history books. So it obviously has a momentum and a volatility profile that is quite different and can be quite significant sometimes. So our oil exploration and production companies, Rex International, it's gained 6% this week, bringing its year-to-date gain to 46%. RH Petrogas has gained 60%, bringing its year-to-date gain to just above 100%. And Intero Resources has also gained 17% this week. And you saw OPEC announce on Thursday, yesterday, it would stick to its original plan for that gradual production increase of 400,000 barrels per day per month. And that was in spite of the recent surge in prices. So OPEC price support, geopolitical tensions, the lower global production capacity from those reduced investments in the COVID years of 2020 and 2021, they were always poised to be key upside drivers of the price of oil this year. But the thing is, the key potential downside driver, that is potential COVID-19 resurgences and new variants, has not really actuated, and nor has, I guess, any potential offset from higher output from uncommitted OPEC members and higher output from US shale oil producers. But nonetheless, they do seem to be providing some kind of offset to some of the geopolitical pressures at the moment. But it's not all about oil. Indonesia coal futures, they're currently trading at $140 per tonne, up from near $90 per tonne last week. And that's up from $66 per tonne at the end of 2021. So our coal mining producers, Geo Energy Resources, They've rallied 32% this week. The shares in Geo Energy Resources, and then Golden Energy and Resources has rallied close to 40% this week. And then you also have March palm oil, crude palm oil. That's trading at around about 6,700 ringgit per metric tonne. It formed a high of 8,500 ringgit per metric tonne on Wednesday. Golden Agri Resources, that's up 12% this week. First Resources has gained 11%. Bumitama's up 5%. And then, of course, you have Oil Tech as well. That provides vegetable oil process technology and renewable energy solutions. That's up around 9% since its 2nd of March debut. So a lot of focus on commodities, Clarissa, and not just CPO, but the agribusinesses as well. Olam and Wilmar, they're up 6% so far this week. And then it's also touched on the maritime businesses with Sembcorp Marine up 9%, Samudera Shipping up 8%, Yangtze Zhang, as we said, is up 6% as well. And then you also, of course, have your Sembcorp Industries, which is, I guess, the stock that has gained 6% this week, and the SDI strongest stock of the year. And that's, of course, been pressing on with its transformation from its portfolio from brown to green energy. So that's it in a nutshell. Really, if you look at the leaderboard in terms of flows, in terms of performances, the commodities part of our stock market has really been very active this week.
It definitely, it's an energy story, it's a commodity story, not just here, but also across the rest of the world. But one other sector that people are actually watching out for, and it's tough to bring this up because we are facing military action in Ukraine at the moment. Defense stocks have also been sort of talked about by other markets. Does the STI or does the SGX actually have some exposure to some of these areas that could actually also potentially benefit from this?
Well, Singapore Tech Engineering is obviously a big manufacturing company that's been a part of the STI. And that's also seen the second highest net institutional inflows this week for the first four sessions of this week. And it's also up 6% this week. So prior to this week, Singtech Engineering was pretty flat on the year. And now with a 6% gain so far this week, it's brought its year-to-date gain to 6% as well.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about SD Engineering?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't actually realize that they are in a defense manufacturing, but I only discovered that because my son served in the army.
Well, I discovered it as part of my job.
About
10 years. On how long I've been there? 11 years? So, yeah, it would have been about 10 and a half years ago.
Are you calling me a ditz? Because it would be an accurate description, yes.
No, but as I said, our market is so dynamic and diverse, Clarissa. We've just got so many businesses that are active in either so many countries or across so many product streams as well. There's bound to be a number of companies that are relevant to a lot of themes as they do come up on a week-to-week basis. And that's obviously where we work with SBH to help get the word out.
Absolutely. All right. Now, we've had a rather exciting week. Do you think we'll have an equally exciting week next week?
Yeah, I think obviously it's still all focus on the Ukraine and developments there. But on the corporate action front, we've got Top Glove Corp reporting on Wednesday. They generally report during lunchtime, but there's not, you know, that's not set in stone, but I would expect it Wednesday lunch. Then Del Monte Pacific has obviously been seeing a lot more trading turnover in recent quarters than it has, you know, prior to COVID. So that's in terms of day-to-day trading participation. That's expected to report on Thursday. And then, of course, tonight, before the weekend, and before a lot of focus on the China Congress and economic updates, you've got the payrolls tonight in the U.S., right, JP?
That is correct. Payrolls and also unemployment in the U.S. That's one of the key data points that the Federal Reserve actually watches apart from inflation, which comes next week. And, of course, all this setting up that very important March meeting that happens in about 2 weeks. And, of course, we'll also be trying to figure out whether or not the FOMC will have a harder time with this March decision because of all the events in Russia and Ukraine and what it's done to energy prices.
Well, that's the week ahead. The SDI now still in the red, down 1% to 3,248 points. I'm Clarissa Montero in the studio with finance presenter JP Ong and joined on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist at the SGX. This has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.